الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. The last and final Prophet of Allah, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has explained an excellence of sending salat upon him. من صلى علي في يوم مئة مرة قضى الله له مئة حاجة سبعين منها لآخرته وثلاثين منها لدنياه. Whoever sends salat upon me 100 times in a day, Allah Azza wa Jal will fulfill 100 of his needs. 70 of those 100 will be for the hereafter, and 30 will be of the world. So my dear respectable brothers, let us all together in love and devotion send peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear respectable brothers, before performing any permissible action in Sharia, in Islam, we have been encouraged to make good intentions, because it is a good intention which could be the cause of a person entering into paradise. Remember, this is the blessing of being a part of the nation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that just by making a good intention, a firm intention, that you are going to carry out an action, one good deed is already written down. And you have not even performed the action, you've just made the mere intention. So my dear respectable brothers and the viewers of Madani Channel, you can make the following intentions. For example, you will listen to the bayan with the intention of acquiring Islamic knowledge. You will listen to the bayan while seated in a respectful manner. If you are lying down, then try to sit up. And if you are leaning on anything, then try to sit up for as much as possible. A very important intention is that we will try to refrain from laziness during the bayan. That could be whether we are playing with our finger, body, clothes or hair, or we are on our mobile phone during the duration of the bayan, or we may be busy conversing with the person next to us. Now this is all against the etiquette of bayan. What's quite strange is that even when I'm delivering this intention, people are still conversing. This is the sad reality, that we are listening to information in our time and we tend to allow it to go through one ear and out the other. So we should never do that. And especially when it comes to ilm-e-deen, we should pay the utmost attention to what is being addressed. A very beautiful intention which I need to mention, because this is a very personal intention, that we will listen to the bayan, the speech, in order to rectify ourselves. And this is a very powerful intention, because within this intention is a lot of goodness. If you have the intention to listen to the bayan to rectify yourself, then at the beginning level, you are at a stage to take the first step of acquiring knowledge of the deen. If a person, I'll give you a very simple example. If a person wishes to fill his bucket or vessel or cup with water, but that cup is already filled with water, now tell me, will there be any use of pouring more water into that cup? No, as you have mentioned, because the water will overflow. In a similar fashion and way, if we are coming to gatherings of Islamic knowledge already thinking that I don't need to be rectified, I'm good, I'm offering my salah, I listen to my parents, I do so and so good deeds, this is the beginning of our downfall. Today, whenever we listen to any speech, we must always reflect on our intention. So a very important intention I would like to end the intention segment on is that you're listening to this speech to rectify ourselves. We have shortcomings within our character, within our behavior, within even our attention span, and many other things. So listening to the bayan with the intention to rectify ourselves is a very, very important intention. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all with the knowledge of making good intentions. And may Allah azza wa jalla allow us to pass on the knowledge we learn to others. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear respectable brothers, the beautiful religion of Islam is an entire way of life. So the teachings of Islam are applicable in any time. The religion of Islam is a timeless religion. That it is not specific for the time period of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or just in the 21st century that we are in. But rather the rulings and the teachings of Islam which have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via the khidmat, the service of Sayyidina Jibreel, the king of all angels, the archangel, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, to the last and final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This divine message and inspiration and revelation is such a message that is not only for the 21st century. Because many people unfortunately tend to think that Islam was only for the time period of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they raise many objections. So as Muslims, you should know that our religion of Islam is applicable from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until the last day on planet Earth. And rather, the teachings of Islam will benefit us even after our demise. So my dear respectable brothers, Islam, knowing that it is an entire teaching of how to live your life, what is the best way for me and you to live our life? This is given within the teachings of Islam. So now when we think about our life as a whole, we have our time with our family, we have our time even just when we are born as a young child, then growing up in our childhood, moving on to the teenage years, then becoming an adult, moving on to further populating the world, getting married, living, having grandchildren, etc. The entire life cycle of a human. And then within that cycle, whatever we experience, it may be happiness, it may be sadness, we may experience losses within our life, we may experience good times where we are prospering and we are further benefiting from our endeavors. For example, in our businesses, in our workplaces. And then, my dear respectable brothers, Islam gives us an entire understanding of all of this. Islam gives us knowledge on how to live every aspect of our life. If a person is feeling down, is feeling stressed, worried, Islam, rather the entire message of Islam, gives us a message of hope. And this is what we need to re-educate the Muslim empire with. Because unfortunately today, we see Muslims going left, right and center, but leaving the actual teachings of the religion. So whatever situation you may be in right now, the brothers here and those watching at home, wherever you may be in the world, whatever you may be doing and whatever time zone you may be at, the religion of Islam has teachings which can get you out of your difficult situation, which can keep you humble in your moments of success. So my dear respectable brothers, today we are going to discuss a particular topic by the name of the traits and the qualities of a successful trader. So now in terms of being a businessman, a tradesman, what are the qualities which Islam has taught us that if someone's a businessman, if someone is going out of his home to earn sustenance, because this is a necessity of a human being, we cannot live without this. We cannot just sit in our home and expect sustenance to come to us. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all intellect, has given us all hands, limbs. So it is a duty upon us to use these limbs to survive within the world. Allah has created asbab, means within the world, that we, by using our intellect, by using our discipline, hard work, truthfulness, trustworthiness, and consistency in our affairs, Allah Azza wa Jal opens the doors of sustenance to us as well. So my dear respectable brothers, let us not wait any longer and further proceed in the speech. Remember, seeking knowledge of the religion is an obligation upon every Muslim. And as I mentioned, Islam tells us about our entire life. Now, whichever situation you may be in, you may be a father, you may be a mother, you may be a brother, you may be an uncle, you may be a son, you may be a daughter. All of these situations and categories, our religion of Islam gives us mannerisms, etiquettes, and how to live our life in the best possible way. So my dear respectable brothers, when we know that we cannot just live our life sitting at home, we have to get out of our home and earn and acquire halal sustenance, or we have to acquire wealth generally. Now it is a duty upon me and you. This is every single Muslim, every baligh and mature Muslim, it is a duty upon me and you to now go and learn those actions or those particular cases in which it is permissible for us, it's rewarding for us to acquire sustenance. Those methods where we can acquire halal sustenance, and those methods which we must abstain from in order to protect ourselves from going towards haram income. This is a duty upon us. We must learn this. We cannot just go about our life, get our degrees, and then step into the world of business thinking, okay, I've got my degree. This is not the greatness of a believer. The shan and greatness of a believer is that he learns, what does his religion say about so-and-so disciplines, about so-and-so jobs and occupations. So my dear respectable brothers, remember, because Islam is our everything. Without Islam, we are nothing. Islam has given us everything. The teachings of how to live our life. Before Islam, we know the entire scenario. How people were mistreated. How adults and youngsters were mistreated. When Islam came, our messenger, the final prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, taught us how to live and how to treat people. How to live in an Islamic society. How to make your society a coherent living society. So my dear respectable brothers, we are going to start with the biography of that personality who is classified as a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is categorized as the greatest of all of human creation, regarding whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us that my companions are like stars. Whichever one of them you follow, you will be guided. Now we are going to talk about this exceptional personality who is not only got the degree and rank and level of a Sahabi, but he also is amongst those whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, with his authority given to him by Allah, declared this individual as a paradise dweller in the world. We are talking about that personality whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved. He is that personality who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O so and so companion, may my parents be sacrificed upon you. This is that individual who we're going to talk about today, who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said that my parents are sacrificed upon you. Who is that personality? This is none other than Sayyidina Zubair bin Awwam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He is the nephew of Sayyida Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu anha, who is the first wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the son of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's paternal aunt, Sayyida Safiya radiyallahu anha. So he was the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was also blessed to become the son-in-law of the greatest companion out of all the companions by mass agreement of the scholars, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The son-in-law of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu is Sayyidina Zubair bin Awwam radiyallahu anhu. Now my dear Islamic brothers, Sayyidina Zubair bin Awwam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu had many beautiful and outstanding qualities, and one of them was his honesty, his trustworthiness and truthfulness as being a businessman. Sayyidina Zubair bin Awwam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he once mentioned the secret to being a successful businessman. He once mentioned the secret, how can a person become a successful businessman? He said that whenever I would purchase anything, prior to purchasing anything, I would thoroughly look at the item first. I would thoroughly check the item that I'm purchasing. The second quality I had was that I never rejected a small profit. If I had a small profit, let's say in today's terminology, £5, £10, £15, a small profit in selling the item that I had, I never rejected that. I sold that item to that buyer. And the final thing he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants blessings to whomsoever he wills. Now, my dear respectable brothers, Sayyidina Zubayr bin Awam radiallahu anhu is first of all a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Out of all of humankind, the greatest of all of humankind are the prophets and messengers, alayhim salatu wasalam. They are the elite. There is nobody greater than them. The prophets and messengers are faultless. They are infallible. They cannot commit a sin. So the quality of prophets is that they are faultless. They are sinless. They are necessary qualities of prophets are that they are truthful, that they are trustworthy, that they are adil in all of their affairs. So after the prophets, the ulama mention that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are at the second level of the greatest of all of creation. We are talking about this individual who is amongst that second category. Sayyidina Zubayr bin Awam radiallahu anhu is an exemplary personality. His piety and righteousness in the business field specifically was something which shone in his biography. He was an honest and successful trader. I want to tell you and inform you how he was very honest and trustworthy and how that had an effect upon him. Not only his own wealth, different companions would entrust their wealth and they would make him the administrator of their wealth. This is Sayyidina Zubayr bin Awam radiallahu anhu. The likes of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan, the third Khalifa of Islam, he entrusted his wealth and he made Sayyidina Zubayr bin Awam the administrator of his wealth. As well as this, Sayyidina Miqdad radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as well as these seven other illustrious companions, all made him the administrator of their wealth after themselves. Thus, Sayyidina Zubayr bin Awam radiallahu anhu would administer their wealth with the utmost honesty and he would spend on their families with his own income. This is the honesty, the piety of our pious predecessors. Just on this one point, we can reflect on our state. What is our state when it comes to buying and selling? When it comes to the business world, are we honest? Are we trustworthy? Are we God-fearing? The one thing which straightens a believer in every affair is our fear of Allah. The more fear of Allah a believer has, the more better of a Muslim he is. This is in all affairs. If a person fears Allah, then a father can happily give his daughter's hand into the marriage of that individual. Because if he fears Allah, he won't wrongfully oppress his wife. If a person fears Allah and he has piety, he has God consciousness, he won't deceive anyone in any of his business transactions, no matter how much deals may be coming through the side. This is what it means to be a Muslim, my dear son brothers. That we don't look at the profit and the loss, but rather our first quality within us is our fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ummat and nations of the past were given divine torments and punishments because of their mistrust, deceit and deception in weighing and measuring. The previous nations, when you study the story of the previous prophets and their waqi'at from the Holy Quran, you will realize that one reason and one huge reason why nations were destroyed was for years and years on end they would deceive people. And unfortunately, what is the direction of the Muslim Ummah today? For the brothers, everybody does business. Everybody buys and sells things. It's a part of life. Now, I give you this reminder. How many of us fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these transactions? My dear respected brothers, continuing further, like the Sahaba-i-Kiram, our pious predecessors, known as the Awliya-i-Kiram, the Tabi'un, those who came after the Tabi'un, our Aimai Mujtahideen, All of these great personalities and the people of Allah, the men of Allah, and the women of Allah, those female saints of Allah, one quality that they had throughout everything was their fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the thing which will keep us straight, my dear Islam brothers. This is the quality that we must develop within ourselves. Because everything else is secondary. What keeps a Muslim from sinning at night? What stops a Muslim from listening to music in his car when nobody's around him? What stops a Muslim from committing sins and oppressing other people? What stops a Muslim from violating the rights of other people? It is his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the people who do not have this fear of Allah, whether they be of not of faith or of faith, but the fear of Allah is weak, you see that because of such people, there are corruptions in society. If a person knows he is going to be held accountable for every income that comes into his account, for every wealth that he acquires, if he knows that he is going to be held accountable on how he spent his youth, on how he treated his parents, on how he treated his spouses, on the upbringing of his children, if a Muslim or if a human being knows that he is going to be held accountable, this is enough to keep a person straight. At times there are people who don't even keep straight after this. Then this is why there are certain rulings of the Sharia known as guidelines or punishments which are given so that people remain on the track. Because some people are barbaric, they're rebellious, they don't like following a specific regime. So for such people who claim to be Muslim, or who live within a Muslim occupied land, then for them, they must follow the rules of that country. So my dear Islamic brothers, we must be very, very careful upon when we claim to be Muslim, because all of us claim to be Muslim. But what do our actions, our habits, our characteristics say about us? Because what Islam teaches us is honesty, is truthfulness, trustworthiness, fairness, piety, good character, favoring other people, sacrificing one's own need for another Muslim, a person's own well-being, and looking after and protecting the wealth, the life, the family members, the loved ones of another Muslim. This is the teaching of Islam. But now I need you to reflect that what's the state in the Muslim world? What's the state around the world? My dear respectable brothers, come back to the teaching of Islam within a practical sense. And inshallah azza wa jalla, when we develop this understanding and mindset, then you will see Islam propagating and it will be spreading throughout the masses. We need to become Muslims in the true sense, my dear respectable brothers. We cannot just claim to be Muslim and full stop, that's it. This is not sufficient. When we go towards the Holy Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the principle of trade in a very beautiful manner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the fifth part of Surah Nisa, verse 29, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, O believers, do not unfairly consume the wealth of each other, except that it is a trade by mutual agreement. Imam Ibn Hajar Makki, Haytami Ash-Shafi'i alayhi rahmah, he commentates and he says, it is evident from this verse that Allah Almighty has permitted trade only when both parties have made the agreement. The parties will only reach an agreement when there is no deceit involved. Therefore, whoever desires the pleasure of Allah Almighty and His Messenger, safety of his religion, this world as well as the hereafter, honor and respect of himself, then he should make efforts for his religion and avoid adopting anything deceitful in business. This is the teaching of our pious predecessors. Now let's just go towards the importance of earning halal sustenance. In the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention towards earning halal livelihood in many places. At one place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا, and we made the day for seeking livelihood. The Quran also states, فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله. So disperse in the land, spread out in the land and seek Allah's benevolence, Allah's fadl, Allah's grace, i.e. lawful sustenance. This is a huge message for such people and elders and men especially, because Islam has given the responsibility of earning livelihood upon men, and this is their duty as Islam has taught us. Now, my dear respectable brothers, earning halal sustenance can only be done whilst you leave your home. You go out and you strive to earn halal income. If a person just sitting at home, if a youngster is 18, 19, 20 and he's sitting at home, then he is going against the teachings of Islam. We have to, as youngsters and elders, understand what Islam is asking from us. We cannot just sit at home and just live our life day by day, sleeping, waking up and doing nothing. This is not the way of Islam and this is not the way of a Muslim. Now, I want to mention to you one beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us the vast understanding of going out in the way of Allah. That many people think when we say fi sabilillah, a person thinks when a Muslim soldier, he goes to defend the Muslim country out in the way of Allah, in Islamic warfare. That is correct as well, but that is not the only understanding. That is the greatest understanding of the fi sabilillah. But the other understandings are through this prophetic narration. So this is reported by a companion of the Prophet by the name of Sayyiduna Ka'ab bin Ujrah radiyallahu anhu, that one day the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with his blessed companions when a young man walked past them. A young man walked past the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions. The noble companions radiyallahu anhum observed this young man and they said, if only this young man used his youth and strength in the way of Allah. This young man was extremely strong. He was well built. He looked after himself. The companions made a remark and they beautifully said, if only his youth and strength was used in the way of Allah. Now look at the reply of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, giving us the vast understanding of the religion. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon hearing the statement of the companions, he replied, number one, if this man, this young man who you are saying is very strong physically, if this young man has left his home in search of sustenance for his young children, he is in the way of Allah. If this man has left his home in search of sustenance for his elderly parents, he is also in the way of Allah. If this man has left his home in search of sustenance in order to refrain from asking for others and begging from them for money or from consuming haram, then this man is in the way of Allah. However, if this man has left his home out of pride, then he is upon the path of the devil. My dear respectable brothers, traveling in search of sustenance for your parents and family is an act of great excellence. So much so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that such a person is upon the path of Allah. Now remember, the one who is honest, truthful, fair, and keeps the matters of halal and haram in mind whilst working or carrying out business, then he is not only the beloved of Allah, but he will also be raised with the righteous people on the Day of Judgment. On the Day of Judgment, they will be forgiven and their faces will shine like the moon. Let us listen to the prophetic narration in this regard. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, At-tajir, as-saduq al-ameen, at-tajir as-saduq al-ameen, مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَىٰ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the truthful and trustworthy businessman will be with the prophets, the exceptionally truthful Siddiqeen and the martyrs. This is on Yawm al-Qiyamah. In a different narration, The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُؤْمِنَ الْمُحْتَرِفِ. Verily Allah loves the believer who works. Now think about this, my dear respected brothers. A person leaves his home to acquire sustenance for his own children so that they don't starve, for his elderly parents so that they don't starve, so that he himself doesn't go around begging people, or to protect himself from consuming haram, then this individual has been classified as being in the way of Allah. And this person will be kept with the prophets, the Siddiqeen and the martyrs on the Day of Judgment. These are the elite of Allah's creation. But who is this person? He is a truthful and trustworthy businessman. So we need to keep this understanding in the religion, that some people think that the religion is separate and the business or our life is separate. No, they coincide. Business attains its greatness in Islam because of following the teachings of Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man amsa kalan min amali yadayhi amsa maghfuran lah." Whoever enters the evening after being tired due to working with his hands, he enters the evening in the state that he is forgiven. This is every evening. You leave at your home in the morning, you come back home, you meet your family, but you're going out to earn halal sustenance. When you enter back home, you are forgiven in the way of Allah. You are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in a final narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever sought this world in a halal way, in order to refrain from begging, provide for his family, and be kind to his neighbor, he will meet Allah in a state that his face will be shining like the full moon." Subhanallah. Now let us go towards the profession and occupations of the greatest of all of humankind and all of creation, the prophets and messengers. They also went out and earned livelihood and sustenance. Who? The prophets and messengers alayhimu salatu wassalam. So as mentioned by Mufti Ahmad Yarkha Naimi alayhi rahma, he states, Sayyiduna Adam ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam initially did work in textile manufacturing before farming. Sayyiduna Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam was a carpenter. Sayyiduna Idris alayhi salam was a tailor. Sayyiduna Hud and Salih alayhi salam traded. Sayyiduna Ibrahim and Sayyiduna Lut alayhim as-salam were farmers. And Sayyiduna Shu'aib alayhi salam would rear animals. Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam reared goats. And Sayyiduna Dawood alayhi salam would make armor. Sayyiduna Sulaiman alayhi salam would make handmade fans and baskets from the leaves of date trees. But remember, Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam was the king of the entire world. Today, people are in this chase to bring another person down, the fight for being at the top, ruling the world. We are talking about one who is not only the king of the world in his time, but everyone was under his rule. Sayyidina, and he's a prophet of Allah, who is infallible and flawless. He still went out and earned sustenance. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the last and final of all prophets, blessed the profession of trade. So my dear respected brothers, we learn that the noble Prophet alayhi wasallam also adopted trade and other industries to earn and attain halal sustenance. So there is no doubt that the prophets are free from every sin and evil. Listen very carefully. The prophets are free from every single type of evil and sin. If going into business and trade was a sin, prophets would never have taken this path. Hence, it is very much the truth that there is no evil within trade. But the evil is actually in the characteristics of those people who do the trade. The people, it's their evil qualities, their deception, their lying, their over flattering a particular product, or wrongfully bargaining, wrongfully auctioning auctioning. Sometimes, I'll give you one famous example. This is forbidden in Islam. That there's two people who are friends. One person's a shopkeeper. The second person is his friend. A random customer has come to the shop. He doesn't know that these two are friends. He thinks this person is another customer. Now, he mentions to the new customer that this product is very good. This product is for so-and-so price elsewhere, but he is selling it very cheap here. But in reality, he's actually selling it overpriced. But this second person is flattering the product. And then this person, he needs that particular thing as well. But now, the two people are working together to extort wealth out of that person. Wrongfully take more wealth than what is actually permitted. This in the Sharia is not allowed. This is a false auctioning. Unfortunately, this happens as well. And this is just one aspect of trade, which is giving trade a bad name. But it's the quality and characteristics of the people doing trade that's the problem. This is what we need to understand, my dear respectable brothers. Islam, like I've just mentioned prior, has got nothing wrong with trade. Rather, it encourages you to go out and earn halal sustenance. But it's the problem where people, unfortunately today, Muslims are seen having these evil trades. If every Muslim makes an intention from now on, the 3 billion population of the Muslims in this moment in time, approximately, if every Muslim develops this mindset that I'm going to be truthful and honest in my trade, if I am a shopkeeper, I'm not going to hide a fault or defect in my item, we will see a prosperous society and we will see a true Islamic society. The problem is that we take as much of the religion as we find easy. And then when something becomes a barrier in, for example, us earning more money, then we leave that thing. This is hypocrisy. Everybody knows to take one thing to leave another thing. And you claim to be a part of that entire understanding and teaching of that particular thing. So my dear respectable brothers, everybody needs to not only understand these things, but also teach other people as well. Teach other Islamic brothers, your family members, your friends, your relatives. Even if you with a sincere heart begin to adopt this, Allah will bless you with efficacy in your words. People will begin to listen to you. But the point is that we first must develop this mindset. We first must become truthful, trustworthy, kind, fair, and easy with the customers and with people in trade. My dear Islamic brothers, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhai Naimi alayhi rahmah mentions in his book Islami Zindagi, The Islamic Life, he says, staying unemployed is actually a crime. Staying unemployed is a crime, and adopting impermissible professions is an even greater crime. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us limbs to work, not to remain useless. Allah has given us limbs to work, not to remain useless. Similarly, adopting disrespectful professions are also disliked for a Muslim. Business with haram items is haram, like music, dance, etc., alcohol as well. This also includes being employed to give false testimonies. Business involving alcohol or any other form and way which is impermissible in the Sharia. My dear Islam brothers, when we reflect on the life of the ambassadors of the religion, the people that every Muslim looks up to, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who learnt and studied Islam directly from the last and final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Regarding their characteristics, Allah praises the companions in the Quran about their business affairs, but then they also the affairs of not remaining heedless of the zikr of Allah. I'll mention the verse and then we'll quickly delve onto this. Allah Almighty mentions the Holy Quran in Surah Nur, verse 37. رجالٌ لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة. Those men whom neither any trade nor any sale distracts from the remembrance of Allah and from keeping salah established and from paying zakah. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he saw traders leave their goods as soon as they heard the call to prayer, the adhan, and they came and stood for salah. Then he said, Allah Almighty revealed the verse رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ regarding them. Allahu Akbar. One action of the companions attain such maqbooliyat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals a verse in their praise. My dear respectable brothers, these are the Muslims of the initial era of Islam, the golden era of Islam, where Islam propagated and spread with its true meaning and message. But unfortunately today, we see Muslims at the time of their doing their business, at the time of their work, when it comes to Iqami Salah, keeping the five daily prayers established, unfortunately we see them sacrificing this. We are doing, unfortunately, the opposite of what is in the Holy Quran. We are doing opposite to what is given by the teachings of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where are we going, my dear Islam brothers? In which direction do we claim to be a Muslim? Because Islam is saying something else about how a Muslim should be. And unfortunately today, we need to change our ways, my dear Islamic brothers. It starts off with one person. One person, everyone himself, ask himself, do I have these qualities? Am I consistent with these qualities? When it comes to offering my salah, do I leave my work for 5, 10, 15 minutes in order to offer my salah? Or am I busy within the world? Oh, it's just a business deal. Let me finish off this deal. Zuhr time, Asr time goes. Asr time, Asr salah has been categorized as the greatest salah out of the five daily salah. For one reason and one very important reason. Because during the time of Asr, which is just after midday, that is the time of peak of business. Sales are happening, people are coming. But now Allah is reminding us that remember your main mission in this world, your main purpose in life is not to earn wealth. You came in this world to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our creator, to serve and worship Him. Alongside this, just to live in this world, for however Allah willed, we are living and we are paying and we are earning sustenance. Unfortunately, we have made earning sustenance our maqsad of our life, the purpose of our life. Whereas this was just something as like provisions to carry on in our path. My dear respectable brothers, everybody, we all need to develop this habit that whenever it's the time of salah, whether you are studying in college, university, wherever you may be, or you may be in the workplace, whatever you may be doing, you know the time of salah. Every Muslim has now applications. Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami has the prayer time application free on the Play Store and App Store, which you can download. In any place of the world, you put on your location, it will find you where you are. If you are in Dubai, you'll be in Dubai. If you're in Birmingham, you'll get the Birmingham locations. If you're in Manchester, you'll get that timing. If you are up north, in Scotland, the timing will be given. If you are down south in London, Wales, wherever you may be in the world, globally. Alhamdulillah, the works of Da'at Islami are such that you can find the timing of Salah wherever you may be. Da'at Islami has made being a practical Muslim very easy for me and you. Very easy. But the problem is how much of us are willing to take that step. Remember, you will be held accountable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given us limbs, given us the faculty of understanding. Unfortunately, we need to first now take this and begin to act upon it. If you ever want anyone to act upon what you say, you first must become an embodiment of that practice. Then your words will have an effect. So my dear respectable brothers, bringing the bayan to a close, we must remember that being a businessman, a tradesman, earning sustenance generally is just for us to live within this world. We are just here to pass by. Don't sacrifice your primary objective for a secondary objective. So we need to understand these points. During the Battle of Ahzab, Abdullah bin Zubair, the son of Zaydina Zubair bin Awam, he mentions that my father, Zubair bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was going to and from Banu Qurayza twice or thrice. And upon return, I asked him its reason. To which he replied, did you really see me, O my son? Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair said, yes, my father, I saw you doing this. You're going back and forth during the Battle of Ahzab. And he said, Allah's Messenger, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who will go to the Banu Qurayza, the tribe of Qurayza, and bring me their news and information? So I came forward, I executed this task, And when I came back into the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, His Eminence sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Zubair, fidaka abi wa ummi. O Zubair, may my parents be sacrificed upon you. This is the maqam of the person who carries out the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you please the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, love and the generosity of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has no limits. So we too, my dear Islamic brothers, must attach ourselves practically towards the teaching of Islam, the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bringing this to a close, I would like to mention a few very important qualities and traits of a successful trader. Number one, in no particular order, one quality within a successful Muslim tradesman, what Islam says, is hard work. Being hardworking, not trying once and then giving up, but rather trying once and then trying a millionth time and still trying. No task is completed in this world without hard work. Whether it comes to business, and business requires a lot of hard work, at times smart work, at times intelligence and awareness. So a lazy individual, he can never be successful in any type of work. Allahu Akbar is a famous example which is quite humorous. They say to such a degree that even if a person wants to eat food, he has to do a bit of hard work. He has to lift up the morsel to put it in his mouth. This is just dunyavi matters. Then a point to take from this, if this is just the world, that you have to do some effort, you have to study for your exams, you have to work hard to get an income, then what about the abode of Jannah? Do you think you're just going to enter into paradise without performing any ibadat? No doubt it is through Allah's mercy that we'll enter paradise. But Allah has also commanded us to offer the 5 daily salah, to give the correct amount of zakah upon our wealth, to perform hajj if it is obligatory upon us, to fast in the month of Ramadan. So my dear respectable brothers, hard work is something which a Muslim should always have within him. He should never ever lose hope. Secondly, good manners. A successful Muslim tradesman is one who is an embodiment. He is an embodiment of good manners. This is actually essential for every single Muslim, let alone whether you're a businessman or not. Because this is are the teachings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People avoid an ill-mannered individual. You'll never find a person who's ill-mannered and his business flourishing, following the true guidelines of Sharia. So you have to adopt and develop within yourself good mannerisms. When you approach people, your approach should be welcoming, should be warm. And my dear Islamic brothers, another thing is discipline. A Muslim tradesman is one who is disciplined. At times a person doesn't feel like going into work. At times a person doesn't feel like doing so much difficulty just to get halal income. But Muslims know how much curse is upon the one who earns haram sustenance. Keeping studying this, understanding these points is something which will take you further as well. So discipline in business as well as in your Muslim, in your life. A Muslim must be disciplined. Our 5-time salah teaches discipline. Our fasting in the month of Ramadan, from the time of just before sunrise, well, sunrise to sunset, 30 days in a row, without fail. During the night, we are all able to eat. But from sunrise to sunset, we fast for 30 days. This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, discipline. Every pillar of Islam teaches us discipline. Honesty. Honesty is a true quality within a Muslim. And it's something that we must be adopting. Trustworthiness. Unfortunately today, it is the Muslim that is seen as being not trustworthy. My dear Islamic brothers, we need to develop these habits, these qualities within ourselves. And at times, hastiness and inexperience is something that we must avoid. We must not be hasty and inexperienced when it comes to becoming a successful tradesman. Unnecessary expenditure. An inexperienced businessman overspends for a small business. This small business cannot cope with the heavy spending, which results in an overall failure. And this should be avoided, as it is necessary to refrain from, in the Sharia we all know that it is necessary to refrain from overspending and wasteful purchasing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to understand the teachings of the religion, and then act upon these teachings, May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us all true successful businessmen in the world, but more importantly in the hereafter. My dear respectable brothers, let us invest and do business with our Creator as well. We're talking about the business of the world, but we must also understand the business with our Creator, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us and told us that when we give in Allah's way, we are investing and we are doing business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will return what we give many times over, whether it be 10 times, 700 times. So my dear Islamic brothers, develop a habit within yourselves in donating in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all the ability to remember and act upon what has been said. Ameen. Bijahin Nabijil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.